Sarah is in St. Louis on Sirius 130. Hello, Sarah. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
I have a comment and maybe something that you can address. I am a biology teacher for the past 29 years, and I have, for the last 8 years, been introducing intelligent design to my students.
Okay.
Especially to refute scientism, because I talk to them about the fact that this world wants to take their faith away from them. And as a scientist, they don't have to succumb to that materialistic neo-Darwinist outlook.
Okay.
That intelligent design theory is very much a beautiful science that can also direct us toward God.
Okay.
Just your comments about that.
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts about it. First of all, we have to realize that there is debate out there among faithful Catholics concerning the value of the intelligent design movement and the argument. I personally think it works to a certain degree, Sarah. I think that you can present arguments from the intelligent design movement to get an individual at least thinking, to stir up within the heart of an individual the awe and the majesty and the beauty of creation, which we're naturally wired to start thinking about a cause of that order within nature. And I think it can get someone to a certain degree to get them possibly beyond the physical boundaries of this universe, that such complexity would sort of give credence to on a reasonable level of a sort of a transcendent intelligence of some sort. But where it falls short, Sarah, there are sort of two problems that I think we need to recognize while at the same time affirming the usefulness of it, but to a certain degree. Number one, it falls short sometimes because, you know, an unbeliever or a skeptic could always fall back on, well, there might be a natural explanation for the complexity. We just don't know it yet. And so that's one problem that many Catholic philosophers see with the intelligent design movement. And so in order to sort of solve that problem, as Father Robert Spitzer does in his book, New Proofs for the Existence of God, is we go all the way back to the beginning of physical time and physical time and space itself, the beginning of all of physical reality, and we look at what is called the fine-tuning of the initial conditions for matter and energy, as well as the universal constants. So, Sarah, I would encourage you to look up the argument from fine-tuning, precisely as presented by Father Spitzer in his book, New Proofs for the Existence of God. Dr. William Lane Craig does it as well in various works of his. But it looks at the fine-tuning at the beginning of physical reality, which doesn't really allow the skeptic to rely or fall back on some possible natural explanation, you see. So I would encourage looking at the complexity of biological life, but I would also encourage you to start looking, share with your students the fine-tuning of the universe at its beginning, which gives credence to a supernatural intelligence. Now, the second sort of limit of the intelligent design movement is that the intelligent designer that you arrive at from starting with complexity or fine-tuning is that such an intelligent designer is not necessarily God, per se, you see? And so it would require more philosophical reasoning or a conceptual analysis from the Thomistic tradition, which is the tradition following St. Thomas Aquinas, in order to begin deducing or unpacking what the nature of such a transcendent intelligent designer might be. So in sum, I would say, Sarah, that intelligent design is good, but as long as we recognize it is limited, and we're going to have to go beyond those limitations in order to arrive at God as classically defined, namely, ipsum esse subsistens, right? The pure subsistent being itself.
A pluribus unum. Sarah, this is getting pretty arcane with the distinctions being drawn here, but they're very important.
Right.
At this level of discourse. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Yes, I just wanted to state that I science is never going to prove God's existence.
That is correct.
I don't want to, because you have to get into metaphysics and,
that's right,
and all of that.
That's right. Science cannot prove God's existence, but it can give credence to theism. And as long as we recognize those boundaries of the relevance of science in the discussion, I'd say use science and go for it.
Sarah, do you speak? Do you teach that too? At a public school or a Catholic context?
No, in a Catholic school.
Okay, so you have a little
which is beautiful because I can bring the faith into the science classroom.
Have you?
That's the beauty of it.
Have you read Fides et Ratio?
No, I have not.
That would be a good. Any Catholic teacher listening now would probably love to read that. Is it the Apostolic Exhortation, or was it in...
It might have been an encyclical.
Yeah, on Faith and Reason by St. John Paul II, where he beautifully lays it out. I think he calls Faith and Reason two wings. Yeah,
Right, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that phrase before, but I have not read
Faith and Reason, Fides et Ratio. Encyclical, very good. Sarah, thanks for the call, and keep the faith in St. Louis.